Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
I felt like Super Bowl Sunday right there for a minute over here worshiping. I was ready to go through the tunnel. That song is a powerful song. I love that. We're actually going to do that song as the response song. So now that you heard it, we're geared up. We're gonna sing that again. If you're joining us online, we're so glad you're here. Comment on there. Engage with us. We know this is a different season, even though we're back on Sunday mornings. We know that you're still there, and we acknowledge that as well. And welcome to Sunday morning, week two, 2.0, right? How's everybody feeling? Yeah, good, very good. Today we have what I call a standalone message, because next week we are starting a series called Be the Bridge. That's our theme we talked about last week that we're going to carry on through this whole year. But Be the Bridge, this theme and this series we're going to jump into, it talks about the art of being a neighbor and what does evangelism look like in 2021 and everything that goes along with it. It's actually something that God's been stirring in me since we planted this church. And so I'm excited. I've been writing all these things down and studying, and so we're going to spend a few weeks next coming weeks. So I encourage you to say, man, I'm going to plan to be here. I'm going to plan to be a part of that, what God is doing. But today, I want to preach on something called fighting isolation. And so this is also something, I actually was a guest coach for some young leaders, and I had a couple of things. I called it Lessons from the Trenches, and this was one of the things that I spoke on and was saying, because it's so easy, as you'll see, and for us to fight that isolation. But one thing I want to highlight real quick, I like to highlight some of our serve teams every now and then, so I want to highlight one of our serve teams. One of the teams that I just think is so crucial for our church, and they do such an incredible job, is our greeting team. You guys enjoy our greeting team? Can you guys give it up and just say thank you to our greeting team? We have a few people that they stand out there, and they also are part of this, and they also for our children's ministry. That's just such a big deal to us, because we want every single person that walks through the doors to feel welcomed and known, and we think that's a big deal, especially for us every week. But if you've never been to church before or connecting for the first time, we think it's a big deal to find community and what God is doing. So just want to highlight that team. We love that team. It's a great team to be a part of as well. You guys make a huge difference. And so couldn't be more thankful for you and your smiling faces underneath the mask, right? You have to learn like the eyes. You know, you gotta do that now? Yeah. I almost did a post yesterday. I was like, I cannot wait to get back to where you can actually smile at people. I still do it, but they have no clue that I'm doing it. You know, like, how you doing? You know, but I've been trying to do the eye smile. But let me pray for us, and then we're going to jump in today. We're going to actually be in a couple different places this morning. Some of our base verses are Genesis 3. That's right. We're going all the way to the beginning. Genesis 3 and Hebrews 10. So if you want to find those two, if you're that kind of person that likes to bookmark or look it up on your Bibles, we're going to be there. We'll be there in just a few minutes. But I want to pray for us and just ask God to speak. You know, another thing, and then I'm going to preach, I promise. But you know, another thing about just the weekends is this great expectation. You know, for me on Saturday nights, it's praying and preparing for you and preparing and reading through God's message. But there's this expectation that we get to come together. In Matthew 18, it says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there with them. And that's what the gathering is every week. When we come together, it's because we know the presence of God. His promises, I will be with them. And it's something about coming together with other believers and other people in community and just experiencing that. And so it's just the expectation every week that God is meeting us there and God is working, God is speaking. And so now I'm going to pray. And just ask God to speak together. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for the opportunity. We are still praising you for a new space for Sunday mornings, God, for how you moved and how you worked in the details in and through that, God, and how you're guiding us on this journey. God, thank you for each and every person that's listening online or that's listening in the room. I pray that you would just speak. God, I pray that you do what only you can do, and that is change lives, mold hearts, God, shape us and reveal truth. God, I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. I pray that we would take what we have, and as we talked about last week, invest that faith in our life, God. Begin to apply that to each and every day that we walk. And I ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I want to tell you a funny little story. When I was in college, I had a friend. He's actually my cousin. He played football in Oklahoma, he was pretty incredible at that football. And so me and another friend that I grew up with, there's three of us that we knew each other from like sixth grade and just kind of stayed together and knew. But anyway, we decided that we were going to go and watch him play one weekend in Oklahoma. And I was still living at Georgia at the time. And I don't know if you've ever made that trip before. Of course, we were in college. We were not going to fly. We don't have the money to go and fly. So we said, well, we can make the trip, right? He had to work. I had to work on Monday. So it had to be a weekend trip. And I don't know if you've ever driven to Oklahoma before, but it is a 16-hour trip. I have never taken a 16-hour trip in a car before, and I was completely underestimating the distance that 16 hours is. And so we get in the car, it's just me and him, we're excited, we dive in, you know, doors shut, and we're all like, yeah, this is going to be awesome, right? And then about 4 hours in, you're like, whew, this is long, right? And you're, it's like, this is only one third of the leg here. And then it gets to 10 hours, and you're like, whoo, we've been driving for 10 hours. This is 6 more hours, right? Like, whoo, this is crazy. And so, you know, of course, we're young. We're like, yeah, let's do it. We're going to push through. We don't need sleep, right? And so we go down there, drive, make it all the way, and we're just there for the weekend. We watch him play. It's like, yeah, right? And then we turn around and make the trip back. And, of course, we've probably only slept like 2 hours. And then, so now it's the round trip, right? 16 hours back. So you can only imagine what this is like trying to drive back. And it gets to like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and that lack of sleep starts catching up with you, right? And so we're just two dudes driving on the road. So of course, you know, like the windows are down, it's cold outside, like we're banging on the hood, we're trying to play games, like let's see how long we put our hand outside, how cold it is, right? Or we're yelling at each other, we're like slapping each other in the face, like, you know, because I mean that's what guys do, right? Like we're just like punching each other in the arm, like stay awake. And I remember this at one point, it was probably like 4 a.m last like third of the leg, we're sitting there, I'm not driving, he's driving, I'm not even paying attention, but all of a sudden, I start to hear the, right, like the rumble strip just starts going, the car's shaking, and I look up, and sure enough, the Joker's like, you know, just falling asleep, and so me, I'm like, and I yell his name, I slap him, I'm like, what are you doing? And then he's like, well, he gets his back on, and he pulls over, and then I'm like, okay, let's switch this out, and move it back. And I just remember, like, you never driven like that before, it's not safe, but like, you just like, I mean, one eye's open, you're just trying to make it, you're just, Lord Jesus, help us to be alive. But all these things, I remember that, and that rumble, every time we hit that rumble strip, that rumble strip saves lives, right? It is loud. It vibrates the whole car, and we hit that rumble strip. And as I was praying about this message in isolation, life is so much like driving those long distances, because life can get where it seems like we are still going on this, or we are still moving, and left alone, not paying attention or not being really intentional, all of a sudden it's so easy for our car just to drift, right? It's so easy for our car, and then all of a sudden God may put something in our life or put someone in our life that acts as a rumble strip, right? And it's like, what are you doing? Like, whoa, what are you doing right here? You can't make that decision. You can't do this. Or maybe it's your spouse, right? We've had those moments in our marriage where it's like, whoa, what's going on here? What's going on? Tell me what's happening here. Like rumble strip kind of moment where you're like, wow, what is going on? And when I think about what we're talking about today, fighting isolation, and when we look at Scripture, it is when you and I are left just to drift, when you and I are left just to drive, and it's so easy in life. And in fact, our natural stint of this broken, sinful world will be to drift towards isolation. If we just kind of sit back and say, we're just going to let this thing go, then our minds, our life will begin just to continue to drift towards that separation because of a few different reasons. One, we live in a sinful and a broken world, and we have a sinful fleshly desire in us that is saying it is so much easier if I could just have me to worry about, right? It is so much easier if I can do that. I don't have to worry about all the other emotions around me. But then, on top of that, we have an adversary. We have an enemy who, that is his plan, right? Like, if you're getting ready to go into battle, if you know what their attack is going to be, it's a little better for you, right? And when you're walking into that. So you and I know part of the enemy's strategy is isolation. In fact, part of his name, the devil, means to divide, to separate. And so he wants to isolate us because he knows it goes against how we were created. And I'm reminded here in Proverbs of 18:1, it says, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." That I love that. It says he breaks out. It's like this fight of, I'm breaking out of my plan for me that I'm going to push away from community, or I'm going to push away from walking the way that God called me to, and I'm going to break towards isolation. And as we think about that, for you and I, if you're taking notes, it's easy to drift towards isolation. It's easy to drift. And I think we can acknowledge that as a people group and as a community and as a person, that we can experience that in life where it's easy maybe for us or our family. And there's a couple different layers here because you may be thinking in your minds like, oh, Daniel's just talking about church, which that's a piece of it. But if we look all the way back to the beginning of time, where God created the heavens and the earth, we see this situation come into play. We've looked all the way back in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, where God created all things, and then he created man, and then he created woman. And then we get to Genesis chapter 3, right? He creates it. He says, "I've created man, I've created the life, I've created animals and food and all of these things, and I've placed you in this perfect garden of Eden, but I'm putting one tree in the garden," right? Because true love gives us a choice. And he puts that tree in there, and he says, "You got everything you need. You have all of this, it is beautiful, and I will take care of you, and I'm provided for you, but there is one tree that is the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from this tree. Just trust me, don't eat from this tree. Everything else is yours, the rivers, the trees, all of this is a perfect creation, but the tree, it will do something in you. Just do not eat from that tree." And so Adam and Eve go about their life. Can you imagine? I mean, perfect. I mean, in communion with God and just walking together in the Garden of Eden. And all of a sudden, the enemy, the serpent comes, right? And starts to whisper in Eve's ear like, "Hey, you know that tree that God said?" In fact, the Genesis tells us that God said, "Do not eat that from that tree or you will surely die." And so the enemy, the devil comes up and he's like, "Hey, did God really say you would die? You won't die," right? Like, that's how crafty, "You won't die. Like, look how beautiful that fruit. Why would God put that tree in the middle there and tell you not to do it? If he really thinks that you're going to die, if he really thinks this is," and he's crafty, he starts whispering in our ear just those subtle lies of against God's word, and he wants to isolate us and remove us from God's plan and God's ways from our life. And he's saying, "Hey, you won't die. You can eat that." He just doesn't want you, right? All this pride coming in. He doesn't want you to be like him. Your eyes will be open and all these things. And so he deceives. Adam and Eve take the fruit. We can argue back and forth. Woman, man, take the fruit first. Okay, right? But anyway, takes the fruit and they both eat the fruit. And in that moment, sin enters our world. And get all of a sudden, this is where I want to pick up today, because this is a piece of scripture that we get to look into. So they eat the fruit. All of a sudden, their eyes are opened to that they are completely naked. They were in perfect community and union with each other, where they were fully physically, emotionally, all these naked before each other, and they didn't even realize it. This was just the norm. I am fully open, fully comfortable. We are in this perfect communion together and with God. And all of a sudden, at that moment, the disobedience and disobeying God separated that. And then, of course, what did they do? They went and isolated themselves. Sin caused shame and guilt, and that's what sin does in our life. It pulls us away from God's plan. It isolates us, and it puts us in this cycle of, oh, I've already messed up too much now. I can't go back. I can't receive what God is calling me to. And then that's what they do. And then we pick up here the conversation that God has with Adam and Eve here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. How's everybody doing? Good. All right. Verse 8, it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to the man and said, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself.'" We have this picture here. Adam and Eve, who are used to walking with God in perfect union, and so much so they could hear God's presence walking around them. That's how close they were. That's the kind of communion they had. And then in this moment when they took on the desire of sin and their ways, selfish ways, right, and the enemy distracted them, now they've hid themselves, and now they have these new emotions. "I was afraid. I was afraid, God, because you told me not to do it, and I did. And now I've got this fear and this guilt, and I'm hiding away from your plan." And God, being the good God that He is, I love this, because He went and He pursues them. He pursued Adam. He pursued Eve. And He loved them so much that He went out and said, "Hey, where are you at?" And in fact, I love how God asks questions, right? And of course, He already knows where they are, right? He's the one that walked up to them, but He asked them, "Hey, where are you?" Because He's trying to get that response. He's trying to see where their heart is. And all of a sudden, He makes the confession, "Hey, I am afraid, and I hid myself. I isolated myself." And you and I, it's so easy for us, if we're not intentional. In fact, I entitled this with such a, I guess, aggressive term, fighting isolation, because that's the picture that I want us to see, that it is a fight here on this side of eternity, that there is an enemy that is, but the devil describes it, or the Bible describes in Ephesians 6 as we are getting ready for battle. God says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can withstand the enemy's schemes." And He is saying, you have to get ready for battle. It is a fight, right? Fighting isolation. And I want to give us three things to fight isolation with, or three ways that we can be isolated, but we must fight against those isolations. Because as we read here in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and even 3, we see the negative side of that you and I were created for community. God created us to be in communion with Him. He created us. It is not good for man to be alone. I will create a helper for you. He created us to be in communion. If we think about even the essence of God, He is community, right? He, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The community is, this togetherness is this powerful piece of Scripture. And so the first thing I want us to get is fight isolation in your relationship with God. We were created to be in community with God. I love this quote here. It says, the farther I run away from the place where God dwells, the less I am able to hear the voice that calls me beloved. The less that I hear that voice, the more entangled I become in the manipulations and the power games of the world." Isn't that true? That you and I, that the further we get from the voice of God, the more that we quench that, the more that we isolate from that, the more we are aware of the manipulations of the world, and the world can begin to move that from us. The old school preacher in me says, have you ever heard that? If a banana gets separated, it gets skinned, right? Like that's right there. If we think about isolation and how we can walk in what God is doing, but what Genesis teaches us is that we have a God that pursues us. And we have a God that sees us separated from Him, sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we would not have to be isolated and separated from Him. And that in Christ, we have our communion back with God. When we place our faith in Jesus, now our relationship is reunited with Him. Our relationship, we are redeemed in Christ and through the blood of Christ, and placing and our faith in Him, He gives us the gift of salvation. And now we have that communion with Him. But we all know if we've been saved in here longer than 2 days, right? Maybe you get that 2-day high of just being saved and the Holy Spirit's moving and I'm on this spiritual high like I just got back from camp and all these things. And then you hit the real world, right? And all of a sudden these manipulations game, the enemy starts to isolate. And if we're not careful, if we left, right, to our own just not being intentional, it's easy to drift from God's presence. And we read in James 5, some of the things that we can do to move back into His presence is to, as we draw near to God, He draws near to us. And we have like taken the wheel of that car and fighting the rumble strip, right? Maybe we have a rumble strip moment in our life of going, ooh, I need to get back closer to God. I need to get back in His Word. I need to get back into prayer. I need to get back closer to what He has for me. Just sitting in His presence, because one word from God can change everything. Everything. One moment in His presence can renew something in us that fills our hope up. One word from God can bring healing to our hearts emotionally. One word from God can breathe life into our situation. One word from God can speak truth, can heal a marriage, can restore all of these things, because we're in the presence of our Creator and getting, and you and I saying, I'm going to fight isolation, because the enemy wants me to divide. And the biggest thing is he wants us to divide us from is our relationship with God. And you and I, every morning, right? There are mornings where you got to fight, right? Or during the day, you're waking up. So many things are fighting for your attention. But you and I, well, we get to put those gloves on, right? Like, here we go. I'm fighting the isolation not to be in the presence of God today. I'm gonna make it happen. It's going to be a priority in my life, because everything flows from my union with God. Everything flows. We were created to be in communion with Him. And if I was the enemy, the greatest thing that I would do to get you away from God's plan for your life would be to separate your relationship with Him, where you couldn't be in His presence, you couldn't hear His voice. That could be a message on its own, right? But as we see here, I want to give us a second thing here as we're going, is that the second thing that you and I have to fight isolation from is the local church. That we were created to live in community with other believers through the local church. And sometimes the local church, we even see in the Bible, it's described as the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the bride of Christ. And if you look at me and my wife, if you get Daniel, guess what? You get my wife too, right? Because we have become one. We are in this union. And for you and I as believers, God is saying part of the way, it's an extension of our relationship with God, is the local church and how we come together in community. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 describes it this way. It says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Another college story. We've got a little theme here today. But when we were in college, one of my roommates in college, he was a big outdoorsman. He loved to hike. And here in the United States, on the East Coast, you got the big, huge Appalachian Trail that goes from Georgia all the way up to Maine. He hiked that thing. It took him like 5-6 months. It's pretty crazy. We, as a trip during the college years, were saying, how awesome would it be? Let's just go hike a portion of it for like 4 or 5 days. We got our backpacking gear, all these different things. I remember the first day, it was so freezing. I was like, is this a good idea, guys? Are you sure? Like, this is freezing out here. And so we go hiking. It was beautiful. It was in the fall in October, North Carolina. That whole little section there is the trip that we did, and it was beautiful. And we were sleeping out like on the side of the mountain. The wind is going and all these different things. But it was pretty incredible to see. And if you know, y'all know anything, if you've gotten close to me, you know I'm not like an outdoorsman, right? Like me and my son took a camping trip last year. We ended up sleeping in the truck, okay? But just because it was cold outside and it was dark, and I can't see out in the dark anyway. But we had a bunch of guys here. during that time. But we would do all these things. But because it was an extended like 4 or 5 day period, we had to find water. I mean, you couldn't just, you know, there was not a water jug big enough to make it for 5 days, and to find food and all these things. And let's go ahead and say, I'm not a fan of using the bathroom in the woods either. You know what I'm saying? But it's just an extended period of time. That's some outdoorsman stuff. But ADD. As we think about that and trying to find clean water, there's a lot of things we learned. We brought things to how to purify that water. But the biggest thing that we had to do, if you've been outdoors or if you've been through any kind of training like that, is if you walk up to a water source and it is sitting still, that's not the best place to draw water, right? Because that stagnant water will begin to grow this nasty muck, and it is not filtered. It is not like it could have came from anywhere, right? It's just been sitting, an animal or whatever could have been in there. But yet we would find the fastest flowing river that we could tell came from the top, right? And that water was just flowing nice. It was flowing beautiful. And that water is always ice cold because it's coming from the top of the mountain. But anyway, we would find that water and we'd fill our jugs up, and we'd put little tablets or little filters in there. But all these things. But for us, the biggest thing to realize was finding the water that was flowing, finding the water that was moving, right? And I think about that term that it says, stir one another up. That stirring is actually healthy, because when we get in community with other believers, there is this spurring, there is this stirring up in us, right, that moves us closer together and closer with God. Having those people in our life that when you walk in going, whoa, what's going on with you today? How can I pray for you? Anything that you need, I'm here for you, right? Or even the accountability piece, right? Like, hey, I noticed this was going on. Can I help guide you a little bit, right? And sometimes accountability is hard, but it's so healthy. It's that stirring up that is truly healthy in us. And God has set this up for you and I to realize His incredible plan. But the fighting isolation, we have to fight that isolation against the local church, because it is God's plan. And you and I can have that happen. Now, I know obviously there's COVID, all these different things, and so there's different ways that we can connect in community. In fact, next week we're launching all of our small groups for this spring, and so there's small group opportunities, there's in-person service, there's online church if you're on there, there's even, hey, I need my community, maybe it's a Tuesday, and I need to send that text, or I need to make that phone call, whatever it is, right? It's that stirring, it's that motion, it's that movement of bringing us together under the name of Jesus. And you and I, it is so, ooh, come on, right? Like, it's so easy to drift from that, right? It's so easy if we leave it not to say, you know what, but I have to fight for me and my house. We are going to fight to be in community. We're going to fight that isolation, and we're going to be together because something happens in us and through us when we come together under the name of Jesus, right? We sing songs like that song, Anchor, that reminds us of God's promises. We walk together in community and we see that person, and not only do I get fed from them, but now I have purpose too, because somebody may need the word that I read this week. Somebody may need the encouragement or the smiling face that I have in front of me as well. So I got to get ready to close. But the third thing is that I want us to see that we have to fight isolation from is fight isolation from the world. Which as a Christian and in some circles, that may come as like a crazy statement. But if we look at it, we were created to be a picture of community in the world. We were created to be a picture of community in the world. In John chapter 13, verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give you." Jesus fulfills the law. In Christ, we are fulfilled all those commandments in Christ. And He's saying, hey, I want us to focus. A new command I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I love this, right? Like, God has called us. Yes, He calls us now. We are in Christ. We are separated. We are holy in Christ. But yet He takes us, right? And then He leaves us in the world to be salt and light. And now I'm going to need, Jordan, can I borrow you? Jason, can I borrow you? I need one more person. Let me see. Hey, Matt, can I borrow you for a second? Yep. I know you won't be offended if I bar you. I didn't tell these guys. I like surprising people. You know what I'm saying? But this, because this is what happens. I want you guys to stand right here. We're going to make like a circle, and you got to be on camera because I want people to see you. He's so handsome, right? You stand here, face each other. Matt, if you'll come, you go that way. There you go. I let people see me then by my back. But as we come together as a church, and I think it's a lot of times when we get saved, we as a church begin to think and go, okay, I'm coming together now. Now this is our community. This is our church. This is our local gathering. Hey, is there anything you need? I'm building you up and making disciples. Like, yeah, this is incredible. But then we can almost get this mindset of, ooh, now we need to separate ourselves from the world because, ooh, no, they're unholy. Like, they're not right. I'm protecting myself. I'm protecting you from the world. And we isolate ourselves from the world. And in fact, when we read scripture, that's what Jesus came and the Pharisees were like, wait, this guy's different. This guy's actually in the world. He is walking with people who are sinful, who are hurting. And in fact, he's inviting them into community. And so instead of you and I doing community this way, now all of a sudden, if you guys would just do 180, turn around, put our backs together. Now you and I, this is, I think, a more biblical picture of community. Y'all looking big, man. It's a more biblical picture of community. Instead of facing inward, yet now we're still in community, right? And I would even say, if you look at the full armor of God, the only thing that is open is our back as the spiritual, right? And God is saying, we stand back to back. Hey, Jordan, I still got your back. Matt, I still got your back. You need anything? We're still living in community, but now we have this mentality that we are living in community, not for ourselves. Yes, that comes with it, but now we can be a picture of community. And so now as I'm serving Jason, people in the world can go, wow, that's incredible. You sacrificed, you loved, you did that for them. And now we can see the world, right? Hey, you should come experience this community. Hey, yeah. You see how Jordan and I got to relate together? It's because we're walking in this union together. Now we are walking in community because we have each other's backs. And I believe this is even a healthier picture of community, because now I have your back. You have, I don't even have to worry. I think the military, y'all call it on my six? Yeah, no? Okay. Anyway, on the, okay. And we're covering the backs, right? Like, and now you worried about mine. I don't even have to worry about that because I know Matt is there. I don't even have to worry about that because I'm not isolating myself away from community. I'm still in community, and now I can even worry about less because I'm walking in what God has called true community. And he gives us a picture. He's saying, love them as I have loved you. Willing to walk together, not only to receive the world that is around us, but to walk in community love as well. Thanks, guys. You guys are awesome. So good. And now as I get ready to close here today, I think as we think about fighting isolation, I think there's three different avenues that we talked about. And my heart and my prayer would be that each of us would look at these three avenues of community. And all three of these are a part of our communion with God. Sometimes we'll take these and we'll separate them and put them in their own compartments of my relationship with God, my relationship with the church, my relationship with like all these things. But God is saying, I want to be the center of it all. It is an extension. It is an outpouring of your relationship with me. And it's a part of this communion and community together. And so maybe for you, it's a moment where we take today, if you're listening online or in the room, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus before. And just like in Genesis chapter 3, you realize that there's this moment of revelation of, wow, I'm separated from God. I'm afraid in life. I have this sin. I have this shame. I have this guilt. And God, I can't even be in your presence. And I would even say that is a holy moment just to stand before God and go, God, I need you. Repentance, oh, is such a powerful thing in our life. One, if you're not a believer, to come to Christ and say, God, I turn from my ways. Just like Adam and Eve, I have chosen the things of this world instead of you. God, and that word repent means I'm dropping that and I'm turning. I'm repenting. I'm returning back to God. And you have that moment and you can give your life to Christ today, right now. Saw that back into communion with him. And the Bible said it is not by works that we have been saved, but it is the free gift of grace that Jesus died on the cross for you and I. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you're in the room, I'd love to pray with you. Because I can even remember, I prayed a prayer when I was about 7 or 8, went through my whole life wrestling through salvation, wasn't sure if I was saved, all those things. And then when I got right out of high school into college, I realized, man, I don't have a relationship with him. I spoke some words, but I didn't have the heart piece. And so I had to go back. And then I called my mom. I was in the parking lot. She prayed this prayer with me. And I remember that was the moment I gave my life to Jesus and was saved. And my prayer is that you would have that moment as well. And I'd love to pray with you today. We'd pray together. If you're in the room, we have a link there. Right now, you can go above the video and it says the Bridge Church or thebridgebluffton.com, set free. Click that. Walks you through that. We would love to connect with you in community. The second thing is you and I would even say, promise we won't close, that the opportunity for you and I, even as Christians, to pray a Psalms 51 prayer, to go, God, maybe there are some things in my life that I'm holding on to that I haven't fully picked up your ways. Or maybe I've started to drift, God, and I'm realizing that. And I want to come back to you. And repentance is such a powerful thing in our life to go, God, this is what is happening. And I'm so sorry. I want to be in your presence, God. I want to be near to you. And that prayer becomes so powerful in our lives because you and I, God sees our heart to want to be with him. And that's my heart and my desire, because even as a Christian, we can stop and have that Psalm 51 moment of stepping back and going, God, maybe I've done some things, or I've walked some ways, or maybe I'm just drifting, or maybe as Revelation says, I'm just in the middle. I'm just kind of this lukewarm state, and God is saying, I want you to be hot, right? I want you to be pursuing me, and you and I can say, I need that, Jesus. I need you in my life. I'll ask you to move and work in my life, God. And then the second thing is you and I, just the local church. I am such a passionate believer in the local church because it has radically changed my life, changed my family's life. And that was even before I was a pastor. That's where I heard the gospel for the first time, right? Was through the local church. That's where I was discipled. That's where I've seen people, their lives, their marriages, all of that changed and strengthened. I've seen people walk off the street and their lives changed from as extreme to drugs and addicted to alcohol, all those things in life because of the discipleship of the local church. And I believe there's a commitment for you and I to say that's just a part of me. It's a part of who I am to fight isolation against that. And so maybe today it's, God, I'm making that commitment to saying I'm a part. I'm all in, as we just talked about in January, God. I'm all into this commitment, into your plan. Your plan, God, is the local church, to work through the local church. I'm involved in your plan. And then the last one is, the great thing is we're about to go into a series about this, living in community, so that the world can see as a picture of life-giving, godly community, so the world can see. And over the next few weeks, maybe you're saying, you know, I'm either going to listen online, or I'm going to be present. I'm ready for that. Be the bridge. Moment and learning of what God's word and what that looks like in our lives. And so I just want to pray for us today and ask God to speak. And we're getting ready to sing that song again, and I would invite you to sing together. We're just reminded of his promise. He is an anchor for our soul. He has set us free, and we, our hope rests in him. So let's pray together. We love you, God. Thank you so much for your word, how it strengthens us, God, how it gives us hope. How is it an anchor for our souls, God? Thank you for pursuing us, sending your son to set us free, Jesus. God, I pray that you would speak to our lives, God. I pray that we would return back to you. I pray that you would just breathe fire and hope and life into us, God. And maybe if we've drifted in that isolation, God, today we're fighting to get back with you, Jesus. God, maybe there's something in our lives that we need to turn from. God, I pray that you reveal that in us. God, I pray that you just speak an all-in moment in our hearts for the local church, God. That is your method to be the hands and feet in the world around us, to love each other, to walk with each other in community, and to be a picture of community in the world, God. God, we love you so much. Thank you for inviting us into your plan and your hope and in your purposes, God. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.